The sun had already begun to drop low in the sky as Ryan, Poet, and Hunniker descended the far side of the hill, out of sight of the Ville, with the goal of infiltrating Virtue Lake and freeing wags and captives. Going in the front door was out of the question, and circling behind the Ville would have taken them the better part of the night. The best way in, as Poet had explained, was over the dry lake bed. And they didn't dare wait until dark to make a start, because of the hazards of traveling over an unfamiliar landscape full of sinkholes, tar pits, and devil knew what else. They had to take advantage of the last of the daylight, both for safe movement and for cover. Poet had then pointed out something that Ryan had already considered. If they headed toward Virtue Lake from the west, the setting sun would help hide them from anyone who happened to be looking in that direction. They shinnied down a steep gully that emptied onto the lake's silty floor. Ryan moved into the lead without hesitation. The two men had agreed on the division of responsibility based on experience and skill. Discussion of the matter had been unnecessary. The man with the best eyes, or in this case the best eye, always took point. Ryan set off across the flatland, quickly crossing the stretches of open ground, slowing when he came to some cover. There wasn't much growing in the lake bed, mostly needle grass and scattered clumps, which he took great pains to avoid. The nests of fine spikes were as tough as tempered steel, and if stepped on by a careless traveler, could easily pass through the sole of a boot and into the foot. A deep tissue infection was almost guaranteed. Such an infection meant amputation or death, and more often than not, the former merely preceded the latter by a matter of days. There were other weeds as well, also widely spaced. Some were noxious-smelling, meaty like unwashed humanity or an abattoir. Others smelled so strongly of licorice that it made the breath catch in the throat. None of the wild plants were taller than waist-high. As far as Ryan could see, there were no trees of any kind in the lake bed, probably because the crude oil that had leaked from the pumping wells had poisoned the soil for large vegetation. There were ponds of black tarry liquid everywhere he looked. The wells and their tool sheds made up the only real cover to be had, and they too were widely separated. Ryan estimated the distance to the edge of the Ville at 2 miles as the crow flew, which was how he led the way. He knew a zigzag course would increase their chances of being seen. It was better to come straight on as much as possible. A straight-on target was much harder to pick out against the steady glare of sunset. He lined up his course well to the right of the refinery's tallest smokestacks. The three companions froze in mid-step. Ryan pointed in the direction of the last sound, then reached down to his leg and unsheathed his panga. Whoever, whatever it was, there would be no gunfire, because that would give them away. Stealthily, the trio advanced, and when they were very close, Ryan signaled for them to fan out. Then he crouched low and parted the weeds with the point of his panga. In a tiny clearing in the middle of the weed patch, a figure hunkered over a freshly killed rabbit. The man was nearly naked, his body covered with dirt, his hair matted against his head, his long beard a tangle of grease and burrs. Great wheels, lash marks, festered along his shoulders and buttocks. Ryan watched as he ate the rabbit carcass like a wild animal. Taking the raw flesh between his teeth, he hacked it free with a sharp piece of broken glass and bolted it down without chewing. Ryan waited until the others were in position before he stood and stepped forward, his panga at the ready.
No!
Oh! The man ran. Right into Hun and Poet.
No yelling, and we'll let you live.
You're not some Azeel Suckman?
Not likely. Who the fuck are you?
The wild man tucked his glass knife into the side of his greasy loincloth, leaving the rag-bound handle sticking out.
I'm called Paste.
He lifted the stiff mass of hair that was his beard, showing them the iron collar still welded shut around his neck.
Baron had me for a slave in his refinery. Meant to work me to death like all the others. I seen that part coming.
Paste looked hungrily at the dead rabbit on the ground.
Go ahead. Eat it.
The ex-slave fell on the carcass. In 2 minutes, he had the thing stripped of flesh down to the coiled bowels. Ryan was pretty sure he planned on eating the guts, too.
So, you escaped from the refinery?
The man let a coil of greenish-gray bowel slip from between his teeth.
Got away 2 weeks ago. My best reckoning. Been hiding out here in the lake bed ever since, hoping to stow away on some wags hauling gas out of here. When I saw that big convoy pulling earlier, I figured I had my big chance. Then the Baron went and captured it.
Our convoy.
Took your people away, too. Took them for slaves. I've seen that.
Where might he have taken them?
Well, there's the jails, for a start. Over past the Gaudies. Bunch of holes dug in the ground with bars over them. If some of your crew is female and under 40, most likely they'll spend some time in the Gaudies. On their backs or bellies. But sooner or later, all of them will end up in the refinery. Which means they'll be dead in their chains in maybe a week. Depending on the work detail they draw. Some chill off even faster than that.
How did they get you?
Oh, shit. Truth of it is, I come here on my own. I was tired of scraping the red blasted dirt to grow my own food and half starving for all my sweat. I believed what I was told about easy work, full plates and good wages. I walked right into a death camp, smiling from ear to ear.
Did they send Sekhmet out here after you?
Well, if they did, I never saw him. You know, I don't think they even noticed I was gone. Things are kind of loose in the refinery. Hundreds of workers inside. Nobody in charge knows their names. Why bother learning a crew's name if they're going to be dead so quick? There's lots of noise and confusion, too. All the time. Men and women keeling over from heat or getting burned or crushed or legs cut off. And the bosses just make the other workers shovel them to the side to die. Let them bleed out over the sewer grates because it don't make such a mess that way. Some people lose their will to live right off. Eyes go dim. They stop eating. Won't talk. Others think they can survive if they take advantage of their fellow slaves, make them do the hardest work while they slack off, steal their bread and water when they're too tired to eat. I can't blame them, though. Guys like that are just trying to make the best of a bad situation, trying to come out on top. Me, I seen it right off that there was no way to win. I told myself that the refinery would grind me up and spit me out dead. Only thing to do was escape. Even if I got chilled trying.
So how'd you get away?
Well, me and this other guy named Harris were chained side by side by the ankles working on some leaky steam pipes at the lake end of the refinery. They always pair you up like that when the job is real dangerous. They put the neck collar and ankle chains on and hook you to someone else so it's hard to run away. And if one person tries to make a break, both get whipped half to death. Anyway, like I said, Harris and me, we're seeing to these cracked steam pipes. Everything in the place is falling apart. It was real hot work. And with the steam pouring out of it, it was hard to see what we were doing. We were trying not to get too badly scalded, had rags wrapped over our hands. Then I don't know, something just blew up. I think Harris touched something he shouldn't have. I know I didn't. The both of us got blown right off our feet, and we landed 10 feet away from the pipes on our backs. I looked over at Harrison, and there was this hole in his chest. I mean, big. He must have got nailed by a 3-inch iron plug from one of the steam pipes. Blood poured out of him in a river, and his legs were kicking. Something came over me. As I watched him dying, right quick, I lay on top of him and smeared his blood all over my shirt. I put it on my face, too. Then I lay back beside him and pretended to be dead. The bosses came by, took one look at us, and told other workers to drag the bodies off. They didn't even bother to check to make sure we were both hurt. They unhooked the ankle chains. They always unhook the chains before they move the bodies. It's easier that way. They took me by the wrists and ankles and slung me over in the corner on a pile of oily rags. They threw Harris on top of me. I didn't even make a sound. I waited until no one was around. Then I lit out the big old hangar doorway as fast as I could, ran down the leg and hid myself. I've been keeping low during the day, coming out at dusk to hunt for food. You're the first folks I've seen up to close to 2 weeks.
We're going into the Ville to rescue our wags and our crew.
And deliver some payback for the one Zeal chilled up on the hilltop.
If you come along with us and show us the way to our friends, you'll get your ride out of here, my word on it. You'll ride in style.
Paste's face took on a tortured expression as he weighed the pros and cons.
Nope. Won't do it. I don't never want to see the inside of that place again. I don't care if I die out here in this dry lake, starve, die of thirst, snakebite. Anything's better than the tank. And if they catch me as a runaway, that's where they'd put me. Straight off.
What's the tank?
Paste seemed to draw into himself. His head lowered, his shoulders huddled, his back slumped. He went mute.
Look, we've got to be going before we lose all the light. You take your rabbit and go too. You keep an eye on the road. When you see us rolling out of the Villanar wags, you come running. You've done us a favor, Paste. You get your ride out of here. You just tell them Poet said so.
Without a word, the wild man scooped up the remains of the carcass and vanished through the weeds.
Sad bastard. Eating raw meat and guts like that? Think he's crazy from what he's been through?
Hard to say. As to the raw rabbit, he didn't dare risk a fire out here, even if he had the wherewithal to start one.
Yeah, I guess that's right. But still, there was something in his eyes that made me think he wasn't all there. Like he'd stripped the gears inside his head.
Sun's going. Let's head off.